Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives radio show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I'm Liz Larson, and normally I'm here with my friend Bill McKenna, but he is off on a mission today. But I have the great fortune of getting Cindy Dale all to myself today. Now, she's been on the show before, and she's one of our dear friends. So it's super fun when she comes on. And our conversation today is even more exciting. One of my favorites. We're talking about quantum healing. So don't worry if you don't know what that is, we're going to talk about it. But Cindy, would you introduce yourself to those of the audience who don't know who you are?
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here. And we'll just keep Bill here, though he's on his Mission Impossible. That's very possible because it's Bill. We'll keep him in our mind while we're doing this, in our hearts, right?
Yeah.
I am the author of 30 plus books on energy healing. I do intuitive energy healing. I've been around for quite a while, meaning I've learned the ins and outs by working with clients, teaching classes, and just absolutely love talking about anything that has to do with energy and with both you and Bill. And I am glad we're doing a girls club today. That's kind of fun.
It is fun. So would you say for everyone, what do you consider quantum healing? I know it's a big topic, and a lot of people are throwing around this quantum thing. We talk about it a lot here. We've experienced things that really, if you looked at it from the outside, don't make sense. And the only way it's explainable is through this quantum field. But what kind of a box, a package do you put that in?
It is fascinating, and it's become trendy. I absolutely love it when I eventually become trendy too. Even my 24-year-old is like, Mom, you don't have to talk about quantum with me. I already know what it is. So I'm just going to define a couple terms. I think that's so important. Quanta is plural for quantum. A quantum, and there's many different types, are considered the smallest units of energy, sometimes also matter, but they're made more out about energy, though they create matter, that we know about. And people typically call them quantum particles, but nothing's really a particle. Everything's a wave. And so these are the tiniest bits of reality. And of course, most of them, like anything that's about psychic or subtle energy, is very unseen. So, but it's the glue. Whatever happens in the world of quanta is what ultimately shows up or doesn't show up in the physical world. That's why I think so many of us have for decades been excited about it. Because when we talk about quantum healing, we're talking about shifting what we don't want so it can disappear. And what we do want, we want it to appear. I mean, it's really kind of that simple. Not that it's all that easy to control it. They're very tiny. So you know, we got to gain some knowledge about this and techniques. But it is the field in medical, regular science, et cetera, that's really explaining the universe and why things can change.
So I really like that explanation. I really do. And it's true. We want things to get out of our life, get out of our experience, dematerialize, if you will, that we don't want. And we want things that we do want to come in to matter into the material world in our lives. That's like the best breakdown of even manifesting that I've ever heard. And I think, and you, I don't know, maybe you don't agree with this, Cindy, but maybe what people like us who've been talking about energy and how things come into physical form or go out of physical form for years, those of us who've seen really miraculous changes in the physical world and in our physical bodies, I think we like this quantum talk because it validates scientifically what we've been doing and knowing for all these years. What do you think?
Oh, exactly. I remember a few years ago, I used to teach at a local college on my weekends. Thank goodness I don't teach weekends anymore. The pandemic helped me immensely in regard to that. And a woman came up during break and she had a fairly large size cyst on her arm. It wasn't a tumor. And I was teaching a couple techniques that really are explainable, to be honest, with quantum physics. And, you know, just three or four of us hanging around her. I said, well, all you have to do is just put a degenerative force on that. And it shrunk. She's like, how did you do that? And I'm like, well, I didn't really do that. Like, that's not how it happens. It's all about quantum mechanics, and what you focus on is what's going to happen, and voting things in and voting things out. But their consciousness was at such a level, they weren't probably focused on it's not going to work. So I come in and say, oh, this is easy. And that's kind of one of the non-scientific ways to talk about how quantum works is, you know, it's pretty easy, especially if you think it's going to be easy.
Yeah. You know, that brings up a bigger subject in a way. So there's the whole kind of placebo, nocebo effect. But really, we've been talking a lot about this physical resistance you feel in the body. You know, has anybody ever given you advice that you probably needed, but instantly you're like, you know, cross, you felt the tension in the body and almost forced it away because like that really wasn't what you wanted to hear at the time, this resistance in the body. I think this is what happens to a lot of people when they hear something, they're prepared enough for it to resist it. But I think what happens for enough people is this is a new enough idea and they don't know what you're about to share with them, that for that fraction of a second, they let it in. Can't get the words out. They let that in and their mind realizes that that's a possibility for that moment. And it changes the physical matter around us.
Exactly. Exactly. And I do believe because it's newer for most people, that idea that maybe they even go into shock.
Yeah, they do.
Shock isn't always bad, but shock can be what? Not an immediate no, or I never want to do that, or I'm not resisting.
Yeah.
I think it's just that brief openness, which with quantum physics rules too, I use the word fixate, that things are here because we're fixated on them. I mean, we have these rules, humans agree to them. Before you're born, you come in, you know, and you're like, oh, I guess those are the natural laws. What we consider to be natural laws are like a very minute portion, however, you know, Newton's ideas and get a hit on an apple, make an apple pie. That's great. But there's more natural laws than that as well. You know, and then it's like, we just kind of swim through and we go, I guess this is all that really exists, which isn't true at all. But when you fixate, when something kind of been voted into existence, you've got to release it before you can usually form something new. You've got to kind of like get your finger off of it, right? Oh. Right. So there's a little empty space. So something new can move around and land.
Yeah. You know, Cindy, this is a practice I use myself daily. And knowing with the work that Bill and I do, that it's this sensation in the body. You can call it resistance. You can call it anything, but really it feels like that pushback, right? And I know that that particular sensation, that resistance to whatever, even if it's stuff I want to do that day, stuff I know I need to do that day, even if it's something I know that's going to create a miracle, sometimes my physical body's like, whoa, that is outside the realm. What are you doing? Or, you know what? I don't feel like it today, right? So I go about collapsing what I call my fence line, my barrier, my electric fence, my choke collar, because these sensations in the body, these the physical feeling of it, but the cycle, the energy that happens is really what pushes all that away. And I love what you're saying, because it's true. We kind of collectively agree that's possible, that's not possible. But for myself and for many of the people that, you know, go along with me and do this work, I call it not putting up with my own shit.
Yes.
That what is possible instantly changes. And I realize I've agreed, or in your language, I've voted in some limitation on myself, on society, on the world, on, you know, my worldview. I've voted it in. I've agreed to it. I didn't mean to. I didn't know I did. But in that moment, I collapse it. That sensation, it just goes. And then my mind has the ability, my whole spirit has the ability, my consciousness, to do something bigger and greater. And then we have miracles.
Yes. We all love miracles. People believe in miracles. I love C.S. Lewis's definition of a miracle. He was a Oxfordian theologian, but he was more than a Christian theologian. I mean, he could have been a quantum physicist too, or a spiritualist. And he said a miracle is the appearance of what's supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that awesome? And I think we do sometimes get that sense. This can really shift. I just know this can. And every so often there is something where we're going, yeah, maybe just going and buying a house, but, you know, kind of with no money, maybe that's not going to happen. maybe that's too big of a miracle. It doesn't mean it's too big of a miracle. It just means, you know, that there's, you know, sometimes a sequencing to events for them to really open up in a way that's, you know, kind of leaves us from, you know, kind of pain into pleasure too, because that's the body, that's the world, and that's all great too. But it's really important to have that sense of ourself in it. One of the spiritual tracks I love to quote about this, years ago, I think it was back in the early 2000s, I read an article that was an interview with a rabbi, by a quantum physicist. All right. And the rabbi was talking about the Torah, the Talmud, you know, kind of what's in this spiritual understanding that's really, it was quantum physics. And the way the rabbi framed it is he said, you know, it was very clear in our interpretations that God created the universe, and in the initiating of that started a linear time. Right. But there's other time periods too, you know, back, forward, inside out, circle, whatever, and left it unfinished. So we get to finish it. So we're all these mini creators finishing it. And I was just talking to a client about this yesterday, and she has a lot of physical issues. And she said, well, but I think that I must have inner resistance, like what you were talking about, Liz. I keep working on my health. I don't do what I need to do. I should, you know, go through my acreage of filing. I should eat better. I should call people. She's not doing any of it. And another one of the ideas in that, and as well as in traditional quantum physics explanations, if you pull this out of it, is that idea of voting, when we make a new decision, when we unfix what's here, we just have to do, like you're saying, that collapsing of the resistance. I sometimes use the phrase, what if? I'll do, what if I wasn't in resistance? What if things could change? I'll just do a what if. there's an idea that it goes faster if you get two votes. So I said to her, maybe you have resistance. Maybe you want to have, she's a Christian, God and Jesus vote for you. Maybe you want to have a guide and the divine vote for you. Maybe you want to have a friend and Jesus sit down for tea and have them vote for you. So once we're working in quantum land, it's not just all about us. It is about us, but not the law of attraction where you've got to overfocus and look at every one of your thoughts, which would take me forever.
No,
because I'm ADHD. Mm-hmm. right.
Yeah. You know, I think we'll talk about this after the break. We need to take a break real quick. But I think that whole idea of law of attraction was so miraculous when it happened and the possibility opened our minds. And then, you know, it really pummeled people. I think it really hurt a lot of people not having the understanding of what has to shift for that to come in. You know, they're pounding their thoughts with exactly the same feeling or resonance around it, right? And hoping it comes in and changes. And what we know now is it just doesn't work that way. But I love what you're saying about more than one person voting for you, right? If you can, it's true. If you can convince other people to agree with you, it just seems like everything is more powerful. Okay, so let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. UK Health, take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back with Cindy Dam. We're having a fun conversation about quantum physics and quantum healing. And we were talking about how this idea of law of attraction was so great. And then it kind of started to beat people up because they didn't understand how to shift the way they felt, thought about it. And I think this idea of, do you remember the idea of paradigm shift that was around for a while? People, that was a hard one for people to understand. But if you can kind of think of the word epiphany, you never had one of those where all of a sudden, it's like a Mack truck of ideas hits you and your whole worldview shifts and changes 180 degrees. You now see the world as a whole new place because of this change. This is kind of what we're talking about. That's what it feels like, right? For all of a sudden, the world to open up in a way that it didn't before. And you were talking about how maybe buying a house or getting a house with no money is not possible. And yet, we hear people, it happens all the time. And in our world, weird things like that happen all the time. But what really changes is the world of possibility opens. There's really no attachment to it one way or the other. It's almost like picking your favorite color of popsicle and just waiting for the person to hand it to you. You know, you just don't, you're not struggling. So talk about that a little bit. What's your experience with that law of attraction, that struggle, that forcing of the will?
Yeah, I mean, the willpower is a tough way to get anything done. I do use willpower. I've been redoing my house and I've spent the better part of 5 weeks in hotels with a son in and out, two dogs and a cat. And some of those mornings I do get up and I go, okay, they've all got to be fed. I will do this.
You have to use your strength of will.
So I have no problem with discipline and willpower and focusing on a thought and moving with it, you know, but it's a rather dry way to make things happen. And again, there's different research out than there were a few years ago. A few years ago, they talked about that we have 80 to 90,000 different thoughts, mainly negative a day. Now they're saying 20,000. I don't care. It's just an awful lot. So I do think people ended up feeling really bad and shameful, which we've all got that issue anyway. Hello, that's called family of origin stuff. Because then they're saying, well, I just must not be focused correctly, or I must be asking for the wrong thing, or I must have so many of those tribal, kind of thoughts that are just mean and nasty, or that's no different than thinking, well, I don't have what I need because of karma or because God's punishing me. I mean, it's just not a necessary way to approach ourselves and to be open. It's such an overplayed word. What does it really mean? It's a feeling. It's the most important knowing in the world. But it really has to be all about love. I mean, we do need to say, I'm willing to be self-loving to, allow myself to get a really good job, or I need to be loving enough to forgive why I have these negative thoughts, so I can create in a different way. So if we can approach things with love, forgiveness, compassion, and there's so many studies that talk about the power of those types of spiritual qualities. And, I actually really believe with this quantum physics stuff that at some level, we're sort of in two different universes. They're the same and they're enmeshed. I think one of them is think of it very over logically, a grid system that is very, very polarizing. That's not bad. All right. It's, for every electron, you have an anti-charge that's called a positron. You have matter and antimatter. That is natural law. That's here. That's not wrong. It's not bad. There's this need for always balancing. But when I look at the science, I see a whole nother universe, and I've experienced it. Sometimes I call it the absolute universe, because there's also a type of light called absolute light that's probably pre-Big Bang, whatever that was. I think it's probably a big puff, but whatever. That casts no darkness. And to me, this whole bit of a quantum idea is there's fields of energy, there's waves of energy we can ride, we carry. We can certainly use the law of attraction and get everything perfect to manifest with electrons and positrons, right? To make it happen that way. But quantum, those little waves kind of are all about everything. And we can also go with the easy path too, that a lot of people like to call spiritual. I don't care if you put the word spiritual on it, but they can also formulate those tiny little waves can also formulate compassion, truth, joy. And if you're riding a big wave of energy like that, you're going to get big shifts.
It's so true. And something Bill and I have been noticing and talking about a lot lately is that many of us, most of us really don't have the hook for the eye of love, joy, peace, bliss. And in fact, when we get into it, many people, I had a good friend of mine who's a big brain human who really is on the consciousness path tell me, I think it's actually dangerous to think you should be happy or joyful most of the time. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And what we know from the work that we do is that your nervous system plays a huge part in it. It's how you perceive the world inside and out. It's how you receive and send. And its preset kind of determines how things go. You either are living in fear, anger, desire, guilt, blame, shame, blah, blah, blah. And there are these same receptors. You can teach yourself, your body, your higher self always knows it, but this love, joy, peace. You have to create a hook for that eye. You have to send and receive that level of energy. I guess it's energy. And I agree with you. When you can send that wave, when you can be mostly living in that, your manifesting becomes not only faster, but much, much different in quality. So you can manifest. I've done it. I manifested a whole $10 million a year business by sheer force. That was horrific. I did it though. I was able to put my thoughts on it, but my thoughts were in force, right? And what I got back was force. When we're in that place, where you're saying of love, joy, peace, bliss, what comes of that are those things that equal love, joy, peace, and bliss. And in my experience, bigger than anything I ever could have dreamt of in that place of force. So I saw your face kind of do a couple little twinges. So what did I say that was outside of that?
Exciting. No, it's so exciting because it does go back to a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
It's very hard to force a paradigm shift or force a bigger way of knowing. You can dribble at it and you can also just ask to receive one, right? You can just say, oh, there's such cool beings that I may or may not be able to see or perceive, but I'm just going to choose to believe in them. I'm just going to choose to go with it. And I sometimes get into, you know, kind of a bigger paradigm shift by those little phrases that are like, well, why not? Or what if? And things just open. But that manifesting out of joy is so exciting. It's so much less work. I have a funny story about that. I have gone to baseball. I've gone to many, I have boys. They're men now, but I've gone to so many sport games. I figured out one time that just with one son, I've gone to 333 days and nights worth of baseball. I don't even like baseball. All right. So talk about how that manifested. But my joke 20 years ago when all that started was, I just want to meet a man to date at baseball. That's it. 20 years, nada. One of the last games. So I went into one of the last games going, you know, what if I just say, why not have it happen now? I just did that kind of joy piece. I'm like, I'm not going to look for it. You know, I'm just going to say, why not? So I'm sitting in Sioux Falls, South Dakota in freezing cold weather. We have a series of games coming up. This particular game, I write during the game. So I'm under the roof. It's raining for 2-3 hours. They finally call the game. We get a sixth of an inning up. I'm done. You know, and I'm writing and there's this guy that keeps looking at me and I'm totally ignoring him. I'm like, I'm writing. I'm sitting in the rain. I've got to make productive use of my time. Go the next day and he sits next to me. And I'm like, oh, whatever. You know, you don't even have to have a good attitude. You can be a real human and manifest with joy, love, and quantum, can't you? Right? Well, we end up hitting it off. I'm going to go visit him. He's from Australia.
Oh, I love it.
But, you know, part of it is when it comes to quanta and working with joy, love, peace, whatever, you do not have to be perfect. It's not about getting every single thought right.
No.
It's about just having your energy field, being willing to have it be open. And it's an old phrase, and go with the flow. There's a certain amount of know what it is you'd like, feel it, let it go, let it come back. But we really don't always know what it's going to look like.
Well, that sounds to me like in that moment, you made a clear choice, Well, gosh, you know, maybe I've been going about this the wrong way. What if it happened now? You know, and it just goes. And I think that's one of the biggest things. Most of us are not 100% sure what we want, right? Or we want it, but it's got to be in this package, right? And then there's a lot of force around it. So what I just heard is, you know, I said, okay, this would be good. Thanks. And then you let it go. I think that's the problem with most law of attraction. It's like, think about it. You know, fire it like it's a bullet and then keep thinking about it and keep trying. But the things that we think about so clearly, so purely, like, okay, let's have it be that. And then we just sort of forget about it. you know, I've heard this said many times. It's like placing an order at a restaurant. You don't keep reordering. But exactly. We just want to be so sure the universe knows what we want. But I, in my experience, what I've seen with so many clients too, is that clarity of being certain. Oh, it could be now. Now's good. Right?
Exactly. That's it. That's it. And the universe is set up for this. One of my favorite sets of research is the universe. Very simplistically, it's a quantum intelligence field. It's conscious. There's a conscious field, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Universe, God, divine, big stuff, whatever. All right. It stores data. I mean, we're talking all data, known, unknown, across time. I would love to know all that, but I don't think so. Then I'm Jim Carrey playing God. I mean, that looks like a headache, right? In geometric forms, in geometric schematics. And there, we have our own personal quantum field, very similar, that has source codes stored for us. Now, those get downloaded at preconception, conception, maybe not all the time. They get corrupt. There's sort of like a text, you know, that you can just say love could be your text, but there's different ways to tune back into your field. And once you've done that, there's very interesting even DNA studies about that. When you've done that, your own personal field opens to the universal one. And you're not just working, you're not just doing this for yourself. It's like the universe will give you, it really does too, you know, give you kind of according to how you're holding your main, I don't know the right word, principle, philosophy, idea. And if you're saying, yeah, if you're in no force, if you're in any time now, if you're in this is fun, if you're in, hey, I'm in for the ride, there's no resistance. And your field through and with and in the universal field will just go, boom, there you go.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not that complicated.
No, it's true. The idea of this fence line thing is our analogy lately, but it's almost like when there's no mass in your field blocking it, nothing to be in its way. It's like when that collapses, the fence opens and it walks right in the fence. I call it the vicinity theory. If you're thinking it, it's thinking you. And it's literally right there waiting. And so often we'll see it happen instantly. You know, whatever it is that you're throwing a fit about and keeping it out, right? Whatever your tantrum's about, as soon as that is collapsed and over and there's this opening, like, oh yeah, that's fully possible. The phone rings, or there's an email, or the person knocks at the door, or the package comes, or, you know, if you've been wanting a house for no money, all of a sudden you have an inheritance. Like weird stuff happens, but it's not all that weird. It actually is the natural law. And once you kind of figure that part out, it really does feel like you can create miracles again and again. Okay. We got to hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio. And when we come back, would you be willing, Cindy, to maybe help people figure out maybe a first couple of steps in that direction? Okay. All right. UK Health, take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Cindy Dale, and we're having the funnest conversation about quantum. We haven't even talked about healing, really, but quantum manifesting, which does include healing. And I asked if you would be willing to kind of start to give people a few steps. What can they do right now to help themselves be in that state? Like, you were like, oh, now would be fine. Thank you.
So I mean, there's all kinds of really fun ways to work. When I'm able to bring myself into what I call the God spot, and I know God's not necessarily a popular word right now, but I use it on purpose. Actually, a cell, C-E-L-L, uniquely yours from God's body. I don't care if you picture God as an old man, you know, a crone, the universe makes no difference to me, the entire galaxy. But when you come from that place with, hey, let's open to this, or let's move the quantum fields, or let me let this go, or let me advance my brain waves so they reach a higher place and they start healing me automatically. There's so many techniques. And once we get that idea that we are spirit, we're connected to whatever we call the divine spirit, and that's in through the cellular capacity of ourselves too, I think that's when things can start to change. We don't separate out. We don't go, well, I'm going to do this with my mind, but it's not going to really happen for my body. I'm sorry, we're here in a body. Here we are, right? I do things through the God spot, and that works for me. Just here I am. That's my spirit, the, you know, bigger spirit, you know, a cell from the universe. Hey, let me breathe in and out and, you know, kind of go from this place. Very quick work.
You know, it really all is so true. It can happen instantly and automatically, right? That you ever been in a fight with someone and this is going to be gross, but maybe they fart or something. Yeah. And then it's such a pattern erupt that everybody starts laughing. Yes. And the minute before, that fight felt palpable. Like you could feel it in the room. If someone walked in the room behind you, they could feel it. It has mass. The energy was just flowing in that direction. And it felt like, you know, it was real. And then a second later, when everyone is just dying, laughing, crying with tears because it's so ridiculous, it's gone. It's like it's vanished. Yes. And that mass has vanished. And how do we feel? Light. Lighter. I don't think it's a mistake that the words are so similar. They really mean the same thing. That we change the light that's coming out of us. And you know, that is energy. It's electricity. And you were talking about small particles of energy. Our physical bodies, when we have this kind of a change, it's measurable inside the body, in our chemicals, in our electricity, in our voltage. It's measurable now outside the body as well. That wave that you were talking about can change just like that. And it changes its quality to light, lighter, right?
It becomes light, biophotons, photons. Yes. Photons are these very interesting little subatomic waves that go through crystals in the body and beyond that carry basically beliefs or thoughts. And, you know, if you're emanating, like you're saying, from that lovely place of humor, I think of Mary Poppins and I love to laugh it up on the ceiling, right? Look,
Right.
Are lighter. And, you know, this is just sort of a weird, geeky sort of a fact too. We have, okay, it's not off base. I'm going to pull it in. We have there's 38 transition metals on the periodic table. They're different types of metals than what we normally think of. All right. But they're very, we know them, titanium, gold, silver, iron, copper. These are metals that when the molecules are spinning, you know, kind of at a specific kind of a rate, not direction, but rate, the atoms change. They become elongated and the electrons go to one side rather than another. And literally whatever that is on, you know, those atoms are on, the metal is on, the substance it's on or connected to becomes lighter. We're healing people of cancer with transition metals. You have all 38 transition metals in your body. So think about what's happening when your phonons, your photons, like your point of view, you're coming from that place, not of, right? But sort right. Of lightness, literally, you are lighter. Literally, whatever you've been storing, this yours or not yours, right? Emotions, microbes, they just went into you. You're holding them on. Why am I holding on to this? Because I don't know not to, you know, whatever it is, it just releases. And you literally do become lighter and brighter, and your sound quality changes.
Yeah. Meaning the vibration that you're emanating,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
So we have seen this in real time and measured it with a machine called the BioWell. We literally see the voltage change in the body, and you can see where the energy is going, and the balance of the body evens out. After one of these big shifts where the body lets go of an old heavy, I mean, it's not, you know, a coincidence that we use that word, an old heavy, like a trauma, or even just an idea or a problem, whatever you want to say. And then immediately after, it shows the voltage spike, sometimes 20 and 30%. It's amazing. Their body goes into full balance. All of their organs are way, way more efficient. But the best thing, the very best thing, is you take a picture before and after, and they look radiant. Often people look about 10 times younger, and people start to comment on it. Like, you're glowing, literally glowing. Yeah. You can see the light emanating from the body. And so this goes into that quantum healing. This creates an energy soup that your cells absolutely love. And then they replicate healthier and stronger and more vital. And as you're saying, lighter. So it's a real explanation for why quantum, for why quantum healing, right?
Yeah.
It becomes real, a reality, you know, a matter thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, the waves in the body change, and oppositional waves actually meet in a different way, and they form the shape of the infinity sign, which is a form in the body of what they call magnetic scalar waves or pressure waves that just rejuvenate. They regenerate. Yeah. Everything changes. And, you know, I want to say, too, it doesn't mean you can never be in a bad mood, all right?
No,
or feel your resistance. No. I use my own resistance a little differently now, though. I've noticed, like, a few months ago, I was thinking of one of my sons, maybe 3, 4, 5 months ago. And I'm like, yeah, something's really wrong. Something's bugging him. And it's not my business. Right. You know, but I did feel like, you know, I'm just going to reach out. And I talked to him, and I had this sense of saying, you know, I have always thought, I just talked, I said, you know, I've always thought it's really important. If you don't like what you're doing, take a break and make a shift. He goes, I needed to hear that today. And he quit his job, which was a very high level job. And he's like, I need a couple months off. And recently I did the same thing with another son, maybe 3 weeks ago. I could feel my tension around him. Was it my tension? Was it his? I don't care. Right. I felt it, like this angst. And I called him, he left, and I called the hotel room we were staying in because of the house being redone. And I called him and I just said, you know, you can do something different. You can change. He goes, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about that. Like, I think I know what I want to do. So is it our angst? Is it not our angst? It doesn't matter. It can be used wisely in a loving way, you know, to say, I need a shift, boom, or I need to support this person somehow. I don't know how. I can just reach out. It doesn't matter how. I just love them, so I'm going to be there.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. We've learned to become aware of, we kind of have shifted the word to discomfort. It's my personal favorite for myself. Sometimes you get up and you're a little salty, or you just think, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable. What's uncomfortable? So we use the tool of kind of getting to neutral and then doing exactly what you're saying, because you may realize this is not my body. I'm feeling this from someone I'm very closely connected to. And now you can give that support because you've taught so many years and you know this work, you know to give that in a certain way. And with clarity and love and kindness and no force. And right, there's a way to do that. And so we use that tool of getting to a physical neutrality where we feel like, okay, meh, all right, I know that's not mine. Ooh, it looks like it's theirs. Now, how can I provide that in a way that really, you know, loves and supports them entirely? Because as moms, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but as an Italian mama myself, sometimes I can get a little bossy. And, you know, I'll give that advice. And of course, it's met with a brick wall, right? If I get myself to full neutral where I'm not in the game, and I say, you know, I'm wondering, I'm curious, little NLP tool. Is there anything around that that, you know, could be adjusted for you? You know, things like that. And then we get the response, just like you said, I've been really thinking about that. It's interesting that you bring that up. Let me share with you what I've been going through, right? And it becomes so generative. But I think that's also that quantum piece. So, you know, you're receiving a message that's not your body from somewhere else, probably many hundreds of miles away or thousands in a lot of cases, but you're feeling it. You're fully interacting. And what we've noticed is a lot of times when we change ourselves, that changes too, no matter how far away it is. So that's that quantum thing. Cindy Dale, how do you explain this?
Entanglement.
Entanglement, right?
That's right? Been a buzzword now for maybe 10, 20 years too. But yeah. It's more fascinating than just the surface description. I mean, quantum entanglement says when two wave particles, but it's also two people, two objects, two anythings have met, have interconnected. Now we know everything generates fields, so their fields are interconnecting. All we are is a field with many, 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 many different fields across time and space interdimensionally. Okay, let's just put that out there. You know, they continue to impact each other. And some of the studies show that here's a quantum, right? They meet, they get married, they get divorced, right? They're going in different directions. And some studies talk about how if, you know, kind of the one divorcee over here goes up, the other one goes down. That isn't always consistent though. Okay. That's old studies.
Yeah.
And the truth is because we're all part of the same energy field. We're part of the same quantum field. Everything and everybody is impacting across time. Absolutely all the time. I mean, I can read about an ancestor of mine. I can read like last year, I took my oldest and his wife to Norway. I'm all Norwegian. Norwegian mothers are very much like Italians. We know everything except how to cook. You guys cook. We don't cook. All right. And my sons will tell you that. And I met second cousins. So my son also got to meet all my second cousins. We're not even that related. Norway's a very little country, though. It's pretty incestuous, to be honest. And the stories that these, you know, kind of the people we were meeting and dining with would tell, it was like they were my story. I felt them. I knew their great grandpa. I knew this person. That's entanglement. That's what we're doing. So when somebody's really excited to tell you about a function they've been to, and or you think about somebody, go with it. I have a good friend, has a library in Sedona.
Yes, I know that good friend.
Yes. Ross, I want everybody to know about him. He's amazing. He has a library of literally masterpieces from across time, ancient wisdom. He went in, especially in his early days of gathering those works, he would hear a phone number in his head, or he would wake up and there'd be a piece of paper next to his bed and he would call it. And the person in China would go, oh, I've been expecting your call. They were probably even talking Chinese and him English. I don't know. You know, and he'd go, oh, you have something for me. Yes, I have a book for you. That's what we're able to do. And that particular person holds love, light, and laughter. What if we're holding those kind of energies? We still get to be human, but we keep going back into whatever it is that's really qualities that we know reflect who we truly are.
Yeah. So on that note, we've run out of time for the UK Health Radio Network platform, but would you be willing to hang on with me for an after chat? We'll tell some weird stories.
Absolutely. I love weird stories.
Okay, great. So everybody here on the UK Health Radio Network platform, you can hear the rest of the after chat anywhere that you like to find your podcasts. Just look for hashtag wellbeing podcast or the UK Health Radio Network. We're talking about iTunes, Spotify, all those places, and you can hear our after chat. But before we go, I want you guys to know how to get more Cindy Dale. She has an upcoming class where she's going to teach you about quantum healing, all things quantum, through the Shift Network. So tell everybody, Cindy, how they can find you and how they could participate in this upcoming quantum healing class.
It's a cool class. We're going to do psychic surgery, Egyptian numbers, and colors. It's you can write in through my website, cindydale.com, cindidale.com, or just look up spelling of my name and the Shift Network, and it'll show up.
Beautiful. And I really encourage you guys to do this. Cindy's a master teacher. If you haven't heard of her before you even do any of that, go look up her books. There's so many amazing things to know. So you're in really good hands here if you've never heard of quantum healing, or if you have and you're really into it already, there's so much you can learn here from Cindy. So everybody, we'll see you in the after chat. If we don't see you there, everybody in UK Health Radio Land, be safe and be well. And we'll be back with Bill McKenna and another fascinating conversation. So until then, we'll see you next week. All right, everybody, we're back with our after chat. And we're talking to Cindy Dale about quantum healing, you know, quantum magic, really, all things quantum, and about how easily people can shift and change everything in their life. Bodies, money, you know, intuition, guides. This is something we haven't even talked about, right? How when you are able to change really your structure, how your physicalness is emanating light or love or joy, how easy it becomes to change everything. So let's talk a little bit more about that, Cindy, and about some of the just crazy stories that have happened to you or your clients or people in your classes that prove out how easy it can be, but how massive it can be to create change.
There's so many fun stories. I'm thinking of one. I was teaching in Canada a few years ago, and I teach about what we're calling absolute light. It's a type of quanta, you know, light that really doesn't cast any darkness. So it never does anything that sometimes we could call harm, right? Mm-hmm. When we're talking about the regular world. So the a woman said, hey, would you just send some of that light at me? And let's just see what happens overnight. And she showed us her chest. Her breastbone was actually concave. It went in like very seriously. And it was impacting negatively at this point, her heart, her heartbeat, her health. I said, sure, let's just ask for that to open up. And we were all like, you know, in that kind of a state that you get in where like, oh, that's easy to do. Of course, the energy can do that. She came back the next morning, showed us her chest, completely flat, completely changed, completely healed. She did say it hurt all night long.
That would make sense, right?
It would make sense because you literally got, your bone is changing. It didn't break. It's literally moving not only itself around, but the rest of the body has to shift around at the same time. And it stayed that way. And you've seen things like that. Share one of yours and Bill's stories. I'd love to hear too from you guys.
Oh gosh. I mean, there are so many. One of my favorites, which I think we've told here a number of times, is about a woman who said her mother was the devil. She really believed it. Her mother was the devil. Her mother hated her. Her mother wanted her dead. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this must be a terrible, terrible human, right? So we're doing the work that we do, which collapses these feelings very quickly, neurologically though. And so I had the good opportunity to work with her, and I'm working and following her along. And all of a sudden there's like, almost like a pop. And she goes, oh, wait, you know what? My mom really loves me. She does. Yeah. You know what? I'm her favorite. You're what? No, I'm her favorite. And you know, she's always loved me and she really admires me because I'm pretty amazing. I've accomplished some amazing things. I'll bet you have. And she was one of those that glowed. Like it was palpable. This, like you said, that wave of energy, I could feel it. I felt the sun on my face from her just beaming, but she was also like really confused, you know? So we do a thing called backtracking. I said, okay, when we started, you said, my mom's the devil. She hates me. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I'm like, you know, 3 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, my mom's the devil. She's like, oh my God, I did say that. Well, you know, that's really not true. Okay. So that was amazing enough on its own, right? So this wave in her body of my mom's devil fully collapsed. There were reasons, all her reasons. But what was so interesting is she'd been trying to sell a business for like 11 years. It was a big business and there had just been no offers, no good offers. And she wanted to change. She wanted to start helping people in, you know, maybe the way you do, Cindy, or the way I do, you know, she wanted to change her life. And so she goes and checks her messages. There was a break in the seminar and she goes and checks her messages and she brings it back. She's got this look of astonishment and here's an offer and a good one for that property, right? She's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go out and call, you know, whoever, I don't know, she had to call. And later on, come to find out that that property actually butts up against her mother's property. And she was so concerned that there was going to be a fight with this woman about the property and the line and the things and the easements and whatever. But in that very moment, it collapsed completely. And she went home and she began this relationship with her mom, this friendship. You know, hey, mom, the thing is selling and there's a, oh, what can I do to help? You know, oh, I'm so glad for you. Oh, it's so wonderful. But it wasn't only that. She went home and things started to feel like a little bit of chaos. You know, there was these people that came into the business and it was an inspection and scary. And she said, it felt like chaos. But when we got down to it, she handled it like a boss and they all ended up friends and friendly, which you don't do with those kind of inspectors. But she noticed there was this sweetness that had returned for her and her husband. You know, the sweetness and kindness and loving. And she had this young child and they were just on this new, like, love binge, you know, they just could see each other and understand each other. And right. I mean, it was like in that moment, every possibility changed. Every possibility was apparent in what she looked like, but then as her life played out. So talk about quantum. Her business
was amazing,
right?
Amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And perspective. I mean, we have a recurring theme that's about perception. I'm reminded of a client I worked with years ago. She worked with a lot of amazing healers too. And she had cancer of the heart, very close to, yeah, I mean, it was fourth stage cancer of the heart or third. I can't remember which one, but there wasn't a treatment. And we maybe worked together 20 minutes. It was hardly anything. You've had those experiences too. And, you know, it was quantum, you know, it was just sort of like I said, you know, heart's about love. What if we just let go? What if, and here's that releasing, the collapsing, what if we just let go, you know, of what isn't really about love for you?
Yeah.
She called me a week later and the cancer was gone, gone, absolutely gone. She added, what's very interesting is when I look at my photo albums of childhood right now, I don't remember everything. She said, it's kind of like some of my memories are gone too. She said, I only have positive ones. It doesn't necessarily mean the memories are gone, but the charges are gone, right?
Yes.
The charges, that resistance that I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy. That person was mean to me. It's exactly what you're talking about. We release that. Everything can rearrange. The quantum universe in us that is ours and around us literally can rearrange. It's extraordinarily powerful. I can't help but think too of my mother's death. to be honest. My mom was sassy. Let's use that word. She and I didn't get along all that well. I was the only daughter in town. I was the only one to take care of her for like 20 years, 30 years. I don't know what it was. And, you know, I just kept going to therapy, which was the smart thing to do. And the last 2 years were great, probably because she was on medical marijuana too. So we had a great time. I mean, we'd go out for malts. We would go out for French fries. We would drive around. It was lovely. It was worth everything, right? To get into that sense of sharing. So I saw her on a Friday. She went into the hospital that night. She knew something was wrong. I kept her on life support, which I wasn't supposed to do according to her wishes, because I needed my sisters to come. Sometimes you just go with your intuition.
Right.
We brought her off of it that Monday, and she woke up fully, saw one of my sisters who she had not seen for years, and they hugged. And then she went back into that state. But also a couple of days later, she was still around, you know, she was still there. And I went in to see her with my oldest son, and the nurse came in and said, "Your mother's not going to leave if your sisters are in here." And it's not a judgment on my sister. It's just not going to happen. You know, they were going through their grief, their emotions. I was good with her. I was good. I was like, "Don't call me. I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need to be there when she dies. I'm good with her. We're in good space." So the nurse said, "They're only going out for dinner for a few minutes." So my son, oldest son, who loved her, she loved him, came. The nurse turns down, you know, kind of the atmosphere. We've got this beautiful Christian music on about it. And I think the words were like, "A job well done" or something. And my son's over here. I'm over here. We're holding hands over her. My mother just smiles and she's gone, just like that. Just the two of us.
Wow.
And we were like little kids. I was like, "Is she still breathing?" He goes, "Well, I don't know how an old person breathes." I said, "Well, take her pulse." And he goes, "Well, I don't know how an old person's pulse feels." I mean, she was gone. She just smiled and left. I mean, we've got a consciousness to us. And that's what we're talking about also with quantum, is our consciousness. What are we focused on versus what are we not focused on?
Yeah. You know, we've talked so much about and witnessed so much where when one body changes, one of these big epiphanies, if you want to say it that way, we like to say that the pattern collapses, the wave of energy is collapsed, the body, the nervous system is no longer focused on that event, that it changes this whole soup of especially the people who are around you, because your system and their system are interacting all the time. You know, HeartMath Institute mapped out long ago that 6 to 8 feet around the body, some people much, much bigger. And we're running into each other's unspoken opinions, you know, unsaid feelings, memories all the time. And we've seen so often recently a man is taking one of our classes and he said, "Oh my gosh, I thought my dad was this terrible, mean person my whole life. We were in conflict with each other." And he said, during one of the sessions, the memory came back of all the wonderful things he did. He was really such a wonderful, such a present dad. And everything changed within him. And then, of course, you know, he gets the call from the dad. "You want to go have a burger, son?" You know, of course, you know, everything changes between the two people. So once it's almost like once we're no longer throwing that opinion at them and they no longer are having defended against it, they collapse. And now we're in a brand new wave. You said, you know, it makes that figure eight wave. And that's the way I say it between us, you know, I'm sending, you're receiving. And it depends on what's in that field around you, whether we're batting it away, you know, in a constant war or easy with each other. And it only takes that momentary collapse of the pattern to change everything. And to me, that's that quantum shift. I like the term timeline shift. It's almost like you took a left turn into another reality.
And it can, because there are parallel realities.
Right.
And we're just moving between these many worlds. I really believe that's real. I had a not dream one night where I was going through a lot of learning about parallel realities for maybe 3-4 years. So I had experiences. And one night I was out of my body, taken back into kind of the late 30s, early 40s, you know, something like that. It was definitely Germany, World War II. And I was put into the brain of a German woman.
Oh my goodness.
Who was married to a Himmler-like person. I was not a nice person in her body. I mean, she wasn't a nice person. And she was like watching these women with their children. She was salivating at them being sent out to the camps. And but with me in her brain, I changed things. I wasn't thinking about this. It was an automatic kind of a interaction. And I spoke to my Himmler husband and I said, why are you sending our niece away with that woman? And there was a Jewish woman with two girls. And I just know I said that. I know that happened. And he looked at me like, because there's other Germans around, you know, and soldiers, military, like he couldn't argue with me. And I said, why did our niece get into this? Why is she holding on to our niece? And he stumbled around like she must have grabbed our niece or whatever. And then I was faced with the choice of having this big, very big German woman I had become too, choose between these two girls. And I did. And I felt the feelings of, you can only imagine, the Sophie's Choice. And then I was gone. Then I was not there. And it was too late for that woman to change anything. I know it happened. I know it's true. We are, like you're saying, you collapse a timeline, you collapse time and space.
Yeah.
And we become more of who we are in an interdimensional kind of way. And it doesn't mean to make us crazy. I mean, I know people get scared. Will I lose track of this reality? You won't. There will be dishes to do.
Yeah, right.
there will always be, if you're a parent, a child, no matter how old they are, who needs money. So you've got to go to work. I mean, you will not lose this reality.
Yeah.
Not if you're, you know, kind of got a sense about it. But we are so multifaceted. That is quantum right there.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. And also it depends on how you enter that timely, we were talking about that love energy, that joy energy. So I've changed the way I manifest. You know, it used to be that you manifest this, the mansion on the hill, you know, for me, it was always the villa in Sicily. That's where my family is from. And, you know, that villa is putting itself together for me right now. But the distance of manifesting that big thing that seems like I can't get from here to there would create some resistance. But I also figured out that when you change a little timeline and a little timeline and a little timeline, you end up somewhere you never imagined that is so fabulous, especially if those timelines are chosen in joy. So I call it shiny thing. So I had this friend who would get so distracted by any shiny thing, but I realized there was some real value in that. And so I think, what would I like just next? What would make things more fun, easier, shinier, brighter? You know, what do I want just next? And then I set my sights on that. And I, you know, when you're a kid, how you would ride your bike without handlebars, without the hands, and you just lean a little bit. That's how I see it. I get myself in a state where I just turn my little scooter in that direction towards the next shiny thing. And then from there, I have a brand new vantage point. It's like we have a lot of hills where I live. If you stood at the bottom of the hill, it would look like the whole world is a hill. Like you cannot see anything. But, you know, you make your little trek and you stand at the top of that hill and, oh my gosh, there's a whole new world. Well, that's been my experience with these shiny things. Like I get to that one and I'm at a new vantage point. I've shifted my timeline and wow, the world looks new and shiny. And then I get bored very easily. So I think, okay, what would be next? What would I love just next? And what I've discovered is through those little micro choosings, I end up with something in a place that I could never have dreamed and is so much better than my little brain could have come up with. But there are these very joyful choosings not in force, not in craving, not in, you know, desperation. If I'm in that place, you know, we use the Cogno ball. I get my Cogno ball out and I kick my own butt and I don't put up with my own frustration, but I never choose from that state anymore because I know that that's not going to work out well for me. So I just make sure when I choose, I'm in that state where shiny things met shiny things and it ends up really, really great.
I love that you're describing this. I feel like I've started to do more and more of this without thinking about it. Yeah. I mean, because I remember like last year I added on during the pandemic, the lockdown to my house and I really got to know my builder. I really like him, but it took 2 years because, you know, lumber was in the China Sea and right. You know, and I remember when it was getting done, maybe 6-7 months ago, just thinking to myself, well, now that I have my add-on, I'd really like to redo my upstairs. And my builder showed up and he said, hey, I just had an account fall apart. Want me to redo your upstairs? I'm like, yeah. And there was a part of me that was sort of like, but do I have the money? And another part of me that's like, well, just redo the upstairs. Of course, this is going to work. And the only thing we hadn't decided to redo was the bathroom, which about 2 weeks ago we were chatting and the day before I had been going, oh, I might as well just get that bathroom redone too. And he just brought it up. He goes, well, why don't you just redo your bathroom too? So it's that inner exchange.
Yeah.
And there's the flow and the life. And he asked me, do you care, you know, when to do it? I go, I don't care. You just do it when you do it, you know? And I find that's very useful too. That's sort of a do it when you do it. Like sometimes there's deadlines. I'm going out of town, but you know, it's sort of like more useful if I'm home when certain things are getting done, but whatever. Everybody, I don't lock my house. People can just come in. I have worker people in here all the time. The dogs, they don't care. Nobody cares. The cat ignores them, goes downstairs. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like things can just happen as they need to happen. What a lovely way. And you're speaking to it to do life that way with no sense of guilt about wanting like a new dishwasher. That's fine to want a new dishwasher.
Sure.
That's a very good thing. Maybe somebody will give you a dishwasher. That'd be awesome.
Well, it's kind of like you were saying, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a new dishwasher? I wonder what kind of new dishwasher will show up in my house. You know, so I call this bossing the universe. I mean, as an Italian woman, we tend to boss things. And so, you know, I was always trying to boss the universe, right? Yeah. Instead of letting it show me what has become available right now. So remember I said about the vicinity, it's in your, if you're thinking it, it's yes. in your vicinity. Like
yes.
no astronaut programs showed up in my life because it's not in my vicinity, right? But Bill showed up in my life strangely. We have no business knowing each other. Because, you know, I was thinking about changing the world and he was thinking about changing the world. And there we were in the same place at the same time and created this thing together. I could have never bossed that. Never in a million years. But when you're able to really be in that state of, oh, I wonder what'll show up next. Something amazing, right? Good things happen. So I've had to get out of trying to boss the universe. So in my house too, we had this horrible carpet and dogs and it, and I don't like carpet and it smells and maybe it's my Italianness. There's just no carpet in Italy. Right. So the rest is hardwoods. And I'm like, I got to get that carpet out. My husband used to be a floor covering contractor and he has his opinions, but I just didn't know what to do about it. Right. I knew I was frustrated and I didn't like it. So one day I said to him, would you mind just pulling that out? He goes, well, what are we going to put in its place? I have no idea. There's old hardwood under it. Just pull it out. Would you be willing? And he's like, sure, I don't have a problem with that. But you know, it's going to be bare in there. I don't care. It's fine. Let it be. And you know, it was like that for about 6 months. And I wanted black and white checkered flooring at tile. And my husband's like, oh, please, no. And it was a small space. And he was right. It really didn't work. But I knew I wanted something like it. I just didn't know what. So I would walk by it with this real neutrality about it. No angst. I know it didn't look good, but I don't care. You know, the carpet was gone and that's what I wanted. And so I kind of now know, because I wait for the shiny thing, right? I just keep asking the question, I wonder what would be good here. I wonder what would be good here. And then one day I realized I could have my checkerboard. I could have it, but just shades of neutrals. So a darker tile and a lighter tile. And my body lit up. I mean, it seems crazy that I'd be so excited, but it was like I had just invented a way to regrow limbs. Like, I was so thrilled with this idea. So I said to my husband, I have this idea and let's go to the tile shop and I'll show you what it looks like. I think it'll be great. So, and he's like, wow, I really do like that. And then on his own, he just figured it out. And, you know, he's a floor cover. He was a floor covering contractor. He got it done. And we are both so tickled by it. You know, it's not surprising that I am, but my husband is not so impressed by things. But he walked down the hall the other day and it opens up and you can see this tile. And he's like, you know, that's really impressive, you know, when coming down the hallway. And then how to decorate around it to show right up. And new ways to put frames around paintings that work with that. And right, it just literally unfolded. But I know, had I pushed that narrative, had I done it with force, it just would never have worked out. I would never have come. And I know it's a little thing, but it really does. It makes me happy, right?
But we talked about that in the UK interview too, the radio. It's so, in podcast, it's so important to what exists is fixated. You need to let it go. You collapse the wave function. That's kind of what is called in physics. You collapse the wave function. You collapse a pattern, but it doesn't mean you always move something in. I mean, sometimes you just leave space. And, you know, I've become so much more comfortable with that. I have no furniture right now. The house is moving towards some completion. I have two pieces I like, and I have two really cool purple chairs that I really like. I don't know where they're going to go. So I was chatting with one of my editors for a book, and I was saying, but I don't really have any furniture. And because people keep saying, when is it done? When is it done? And I go, well, I don't know, because I don't know when I'm going to get furniture, because I don't know what I want yet. You know, and she goes, oh, I'd love to see your purple chairs. I bet those really do belong in your house, right? So I have two purple chairs. Now, it's a good thing I have two, because during the many moons that there was nothing in the house and I was in various degrees of discomfort, I only had one chair in there and the cat took it. The cat said, that's my chair.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing I can get two purple chairs out of storage now. Though you can bet the cat will jump from one to the other. But small things are just as important as big things, you know, because that's the beauty of life too. And in quantum response to space, don't fill the space before you notice fill the space. My youngest is going through this. He's trying to decide what to do next. And I just said, well, so don't decide. Just don't decide. And he's actually traveling for 2 months right now. But right before he left, this was all as of 2 weeks ago, he got three job offers, right? Because he decided not to decide. And he decided just to travel. He got three job offers.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't know what to take. I said, don't decide. I mean, feel it through, pick it, you know, kind of, I think I know what you want. See if that can get locked in. And if not, then you can always do something different. But it's not about rushing ourselves. Quantum is like, they move faster than the speed of light, many of these.
Yeah.
They really do. But it doesn't mean you need to move faster than the speed of light all the time either.
Well, and it's weird because a lot of things do just immediately show up.
They do.
When you have this change. But you know that many, many things had to be orchestrated for that to show up the way it did. So
a sequencing.
There's some aspect of it happening retroactively behind the scenes. And that's why I like to say it literally shows up and is standing outside your fence waiting for you to let it in. Like, all that work has been done. And I tend to think, if you can find the feeling you're looking for, what does it feel like when that happens? How do I feel? And so I know myself, I know my core attracting feeling. It lives, you know, up here about my collarbones. Everything lights up, right? There's this very specific feeling. And I know when I know that that's the thing that's absolutely right for me, and it's exciting, right? So that's kind of where I put myself now. Like, I know when that thing, like the floor, I know when it happens, I'm going to feel like that. So I'm kind of just going to put that out there and wait until I feel like that. And it's like, ding, ding, ding. Oh, obviously, clearly that makes all the sense in the world. And then it falls together very quickly. I think though, 20 years ago, I could not have done this because of my lack of patience. I am the most impatient person. So the waiting would kill me. And, you know, the desire to boss the universe. But what I boiled it down to for myself, it was a feeling of frustration, my core limiting sensation, the thing that put up my fence lines, right? And I know when I'm uncomfortable like that, I know that that's something I have to change or work through or collapse or whatever. There's information, data there, absolutely information. And I don't choose from that place. I couldn't have done it where knowing it'll show up when it shows up. And that's the exciting part. And the waiting is as exciting, you know, at getting out of that frustration. So yeah, my preset was certainly frustration. And that doesn't work well with having to wait for something to show up.
But I'm with you. I think 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I may not have like had that sense of kind of patient excitement. For years, I mean, you're going to have your villa in Sicily, like you're saying, it's built or being built, and I do want a place in a different country. I've been researching that for 10 years, but you know what? I love research. I love reading. I love reading websites about different places. When I travel, I go look at the houses, and you know, it's just, and I know that I will choose, but I don't know when or where. And you know, my kids are good with that phenomenon. Well, mom, you'll end up with the right thing, you know, kind of when it's the right time. But it's like this year, it was like, no, I'm doing the house this year. That's why I haven't picked something somewhere else, because I'm doing my house.
Yeah.
And it just, oh, that's cool. That's what's first. There is a beautiful sequencing. It's because we live linear, you know, that the Torah, you know, God created the earth and came and brought energies that are so boundless into some sense of time and space. That doesn't mean time and space is bound, you know, but we do work that way in and through the body often. And so but things are manifesting simultaneously.
Yeah.
Even if they say yes, or it shows up right in a month or in 2 years, it's still manifesting the entire time, you know, that we're hoping for it, waiting for it, or just waiting to see what it is it's going to be.
Well, exactly. I mean, what if you have you want a house that someone else is living in right now?
Yes,
you know,
Would
you kick someone out? No. So, and also the thing that you don't even know what you want yet until it arrives. So we're always looking at villas in Sicily, and I ended up looking at like castles, because strangely, there's so many castles in Europe that are abandoned and for sale. And I found this one in the perfect place near my family's home in Sicily. And Cindy, it had a church and a dungeon. And I realized in that moment, that is an absolute necessity.
I love it.
Why did I not know I needed a church and a dungeon?
Well, you didn't know until you knew.
So now, you know, those are my new requirements. I would have never thought of that years ago.
That's the fun part of waiting. It's like little things pop in.
I totally get it.
That's why I've sort of narrowed down to a couple countries, but we'll wait and see. You know, I'll just know. I will know.
Right. It'll show up when it does. And I think that's a thing. If we can make ourselves more than comfortable, neutral or better around being like, oh, I wonder how that'll show up. I wonder when it'll show up. Now would be good, but I wonder if something amazing is going to be there. And you let yourself be in that light state of fun anticipation.
Exactly.
You know, like a little kid waiting for Christmas, you know, remember when that happened? Yeah. And oh my God, it was amazing that things show up that we couldn't have ever expected. Speaking of which, we have gone way over time and it was such a fun conversation.
And got to meet all these lovely people who are joining us while we're talking, which is right. Awesome.
Absolutely. So everybody, you can work with Cindy. Now, if you're hearing this show months or years later, this class that Cindy is doing, her upcoming quantum healing class, is on the Shift Network. And the cool thing about the Shift Network is you can go back and watch the class, even though it's not live anymore, but you can watch it and experience it anytime. Bill and I have a class right now on the Shift Network as well. It's about clearing out all those lower levels, those things that make you uncomfortable, those things that you don't even realize are running in the background that can help you feel lighter. So go to the Shift Network, look up Cindy Dale, or you can look up Cogna Movement, and you can take these classes. If you're hearing this somewhere around July 2023, that class will be starting very, very soon. So you can get in and watch it live. So everybody, thanks for being here with us. And Cindy, thanks for the chat. This has been so much fun.
Lovely.
We'll talk again really soon. Everybody, you can find Cindy Dale at her website, which is?
CindyDale.com, C-Y-N-D-I.
C-Y-N-D-I-D-A-L-A-L-E, CindyDale.com. All right, everybody. Until next week, be safe and be well. And thanks so much, Cindy.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.